Moncrief on News Talk.
Who are you?
Asta.
What are you doing here?
The reports. Mineral deposits, unknown isotopes, nothing ever seen before. Those reports, they don't sound familiar?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, those reports, that's why I'm here, it's what I do.
Right, I just... I didn't expect anyone to...
Well, it's been, what, a year? I don't blame you, but folks in Mission Control, they're interested, so... Here I am. Barely, I guess. I just need the samples and access to any data. No?
Yeah, you can't access it. AI is malfunctioning, I said that already.
What's malfunctioning? The AI, the whole beacon?
No, okay, I just said no! Didn't you hear me?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Bit of an overreaction there, really, I thought. That's Beacon 23. You can stream the entire season now on Paramount Plus. So this is literally set in a space lighthouse.
It is set in a space lighthouse. And you have to hand it to Hugh Howey, who is this sci-fi writer who wrote the series of books at the series Silo on Apple TV Plus.
Bit of a similarity, like in terms of location, yes.
Right, as in, you cannot leave. Yeah. You cannot leave this long cylindrical body, or else you'll die.
Right? Yes.
So he knows what he knows, and he sticks with it. And the thing about Silo was, when it started on Apple TV, the second season has finished filming. They are aiming for a late 2024 release, but it looks more likely to be 2025. Like, that was a brilliant piece of Apple TV sci-fi show, right?
Yeah.
I loved it. It was helmed by Rebecca Ferguson in this interesting performance. It's this really, really good, highbrow, expensive looking show. And this is, you know, and that's the Apple TV Plus one. This is made in the US by MGM Plus, a streamer so successful you've never heard of.
Yes.
And has just arrived to us on Paramount Plus on this side of the Atlantic, though a second season has already been made and aired in the US earlier this year.
Okay.
And there's kind of rumblings of a third one, but as yet unconfirmed. And as you said, it is set in a lighthouse in space. And it is... I think it has grand ambitions that it doesn't quite manage to realise, right? So in the in-world universe, it's set, I think, roughly 200 years from now, and mankind has colonised space. There's rumblings of war that's never kind of fully explained, and there's a dubious intergalactic corporation up to no good, like you would expect.
Yeah.
There's some rebellious AIs, and there's some very fine world building. And in this world... there are beacons, and beacons are, as you said, you know, lighthouses in space. And their job is to protect vessels from, I think, black holes or sort of something, you know,
okay.
some physics that, like, I could...
Space see.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And into that, in the first episode, we get Hallan Kai Nelson. He's played by Stefan James, a Canadian actor. He's the lone beacon keeper of Beacon 23, and he has to witness this emergency going on that he can do nothing to prevent because there's something wrong with his beacon. And in that emergency, there is a sole survivor, that is Aster Kaelix, played by Lena Headey, late of Cersei Lannister fame. Mm-hmm. And she is then on the beacon with him, and obviously then a lot more happens. Right. So it begins as this kind of, I'm going to say, 2.5 hander, because as I said, it is just the pair of them on the beacon. But there are a couple of AIs weighing in Alexa style. Right.
Okay.
But essentially, we have an unraveling mystery about why is Aster there? Why is Stephen, the beacon keeper, so uncertain and angry, and what's going on? And all in, I found it a very frustrating kind of show, because one sort of result of the pandemic for me was I discovered this like latent interest in sci-fi that I had never known existed before. And now I'm like a moth to a flame to this kind of show.
Yes.
Right? Like, I am actually probably the only person eagerly
awaiting season two of The Ark, the worst sci-fi show.
Are they going to make a season two of that?
It's made.
Is it? I'm looking for, because that was like gloriously rubbish.
It reveled
in its camp.
Yes, right? Yeah. So like, and I loved The Expanse so much that I stopped watching it in order to read all of the novels so then I could go back without, with it spoiled, I guess.
Yes.
And this, I thought, okay, yeah, like I really liked Silo. It was this very self-contained, literally story about, you know, people warring in a post-apocalyptic world. And here we have people in, you know, a self-contained bottle series of two people on this lighthouse, right, in space. And all in, the world building is excellent. The effects are not even too bad. The sets are all very nicely made. But it's the intrigue that completely and utterly lost me, right? The problem is it actually doesn't get enough space to breathe. So within the kind of first episode of Aster arriving on, you know, in a escape pod from this spaceship disaster, it's all explained almost within 20 minutes what she's doing there. And really, we don't have time for the tension to build of, or even anyone's suspicion to build before we're already explained why they might be suspicious or what questions they may have. So all in, it doesn't hide any of its secrets from you. It just paints them, you know, it plays all its cards straight on the table and you know what you're getting. Okay, there's a bit of novelty in, there's, you know, it's not stretched out. It's, you know, that's often something I would complain about and something that you'll remind me about. But all in, it's just it could actually just do with being a little more ponderous, you know? It could do with having a little more air to breathe, despite the fact that it's set in space.
Yeah. Well, because I suppose if it's just a two-hander a lot of the time, that would kind of help build tension, this big, empty area.
Yes and no. So, so while the Silo series is based on a series of three novels, this is based on a number of different short stories that are all set on Beacon 23 in something of its 300-year history. Right.
Oh, I see.
So,
for instance,
we the first two episodes are following Aster and Halen, and then episode three takes a 300-year or 200-year trip into the past to the very first Beacon Keeper, and this this guy who, again, I mean, people are always just turning up at these beacons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and knocking on the door, going, "Oh, just let me in," right? So somebody turns up at her beacon and wants to be let in, and there's a bit of mystery. She's played by Barbara Hershey of Beaches fame and other various things. So all in, it is a complicated, convoluted timeline that jumps forward and back in the past, involves some unusual space rocks, which we heard alluded to in the clip, a lot of very nice sets, but just kind of not enough dramatic oomph for my liking.
Yeah, and these various timeline stories, are they related to each other than the location?
They are. They're kind of, yeah, obviously the location is the main thing tying them together. They are related to each other the further you get into the story, because it all again involves various AIs and this you know, kind of spurious evil corporation overseeing everything and how people are involved with that and who the lighthouse keepers were and who set up the lighthouses, etc. So like, it has these grand, lofty ambitions to be this, you know, overarching sci-fi soap opera, but it's just like, it's not quite, it's more like an operetta, you know, like it's not quite there.
Yeah. Okay. That's a shame. Then it took a long time to get over to this side of the Atlantic if they've already seen
very much so.
Season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder, is there a reason for that? Right. Our second show is Spent. You can catch it Mondays at 10 p.m. on BBC Two. Here's a clip.
You've got to bring down your spending dramatically. I just like nice stuff. Like, I've got a visceral aversion to cheap shit.
You spent $36,500 on brunch.
You haven't had the brunch at Snap, have you?
You've spent close to $14,000 on crystals.
Over 12 months. You're making it sound bad because you're adding it all together. Like, when you go out with no money and then you get a big chunk of money, you got to, like, spend the poverty out your system. Do you know what I mean? Like, to celebrate.
The only way to safeguard you from your own spending is to declare bankruptcy.
As in a public declaration? So everyone would know? Nah, man. That don't sound like a good idea. Well, I'm just going to put that out into the universe.
I don't know about the universe, Mia, but here in the USA, you are in a lot of debt, and your options are very limited.
So would I just be bankrupt here in this country?
Yes.
Huh.
spend the poverty out of your system. There's a bit of a theme on the show today about money. So I think we got from that clip, this person has achieved a certain amount of fame quite quickly. Mm. And then, well, hey!
Pretty much, yeah. So that is Michelle Desoart. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's just a very intriguing stand-up comedian whose path to the stand-up stage is quite unusual in the sense that she grew up half Jamaican, half, well, under half British, half white British, half Jamaican British. Her mother is Jewish. She grew up in like a council estate or council flats in Brixton. She spent part of her childhood and young womanhood living in women's shelters, dropped out of school at 14 before she earned GCSEs, was then discovered, model scouted in a bar at 19, not doing particularly well in London until she got booked in New York. Mm. Spent a number of very successful years in New York as a model, rubbing shoulders at one point briefly, she said, with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh dear. Right?
Yeah. And avoiding a free flight to Milan from him, quite wisely by the looks of it. She clearly has a wise head on her shoulders. And then eventually spending all the money she had and coming back to the UK and then finding newfound fame as a stand-up comedian. Hmm. And this is her first foray into creating her own show. But she did star in The Baby on Sky a couple of years ago, around 2022, which was like a real cult hit at the time. Yeah. And one that just got away from me. I never actually got to see it, but it's been on my list for like 2 years, right? So this is her own self-written, self-starring, directed sitcom. And it is she would say, 20% inspired by her real life.
Okay.
So she plays a model, Mia, who has spent all of the money she ever earned modelling and now is fleeing her debts in the US and returns to the same Brixton neighbourhood that she grew up in, but has not been able to give up the trappings of wealth that she previously enjoyed in terms of her tastes. So while she cannot afford a place to live, she's sort of complaining about drinking orange juice that's made from concentrate and not cold pressed. And then she reconnects with her old model agent. He's played by Matt King, who people would know as Super Hans from Peep Show. And he's getting her jobs, but she thinks they are modelling jobs, but it turns out she's just dog sitting and so on and so forth. So it's a very welcome addition to this sort of canon, UK sitcom canon of female comedian leading the show, right?
Yeah.
And like all contemporary sitcoms, it touches on issues that are much weightier than you would expect in, let's say, a 25-minute sitcom episode. By that I mean mental health, race, queer identities, chosen families, poverty, etc., etc. But unlike many other things, it is unashamedly funny. Yeah. Right?
That makes a nice change. Right? Yeah.
As in, I kept expecting it to be laying on these moral, you know, moments thicker and more pathos and drama, and it didn't. And I actually admired its sort of old school hard-necked bravado of this is just meant to be funny and funny.
Okay.
And it is very, very, very funny. I mainlined the whole thing today because it was dropped today on the BBC iPlayer and is airing for the first time tonight at 10 p.m. on BBC Two. So it is a strong recommendation for the week ahead because this is fresh as you can get.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, good for her. Yeah, because I did see The Baby and it was kind of
weird.
It was quite absurdist humor.
Yeah.
But there was, well, because she kind of inherits, not her baby, but there's a whole thing about how hard it is just having a baby, you know, and she doesn't sleep for about 7 episodes. So, and well, it probably is only 6 episodes of that series. but it was, yeah, it was good. So, yeah, that's a good one. Right. Our third show is The Fall, Skydive Murder Plot. You can stream now on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
So Vicky's drifted away from the actual field where people jump, just made it over the tarmac road and lands on the freshly ploughed field. So the first person that got to her actually had a body bag in his vehicle that he'd taken out of the vehicle to run towards her because he expected her to die. He didn't think anyone would survive from falling 4,000 feet. It's miraculous. How she survived that is unbelievable.
Having talked to Victoria, she said that all that was going through her mind was A, trying to write what was happening, but B, was her children. Can you imagine falling to the ground and all you can think about is I'm going to leave my children? just horrendous, just horrendous.
How do you survive falling 44,000 feet?
They actually don't really explain that particularly well. Oh. And even I kind of was expecting them to marvel more at the fact that not only did this woman, Victoria Silliers, survive this attempted murder by her husband. It's not a spoiler, right? I mean, the name of the show is
no, it's
Skydive Murder Flight.
Yes, right? It's in the trailer as well. Right.
But she isn't even particularly injured. As in, in the immediate aftermath, she was in a brace, but like... No, it didn't seem like she had broken bones or anything like that at all. So, you know, that's its own mystery to unravel.
Did she land on a giant mattress or anything? Did they even explain?
But this is a very interesting true crime addition, right, to that canon. Because how often does the person who is the victim, and it is usually a wife, mother, right, do they survive to be able to give their own talking head in the interviews, right? So I really admired it even just simply because of that. It is very rare that we get these kind of true crime stories where the victim is able to actually tell their own story. And it is a really intriguing story. Now, they make a few narrative choices that are a bit questionable, right? So this is a 3-hour long, you know, 3-episode arcing series from Channel 4. And in addition to having your usual talking head interviews, so we heard there DC Maddie Henna and DI Paul Franklin, who are investigating the case, they also do dramatic reconstructions. Now, that happens sometimes in these kinds of shows, but I mean, really here, it's like they're going for a BAFTA in their dramatic reconstructions because they, you know, they hire really proper professional actors. One is Mianna Burns, or I think it's Mianna Burns, who you would have seen in The Witcher, amongst other things. And then this South African actor named Neil Bishop. And it's also trying to play against our own conception that this is a, you know, dramatization within a documentary, because they'll have actors playing the two police, you know, inspectors, while they then show us the two police inspectors watching the actors playing themselves.
Confusing.
And then there's a bit where, like, you know, the director, a dairy man named Guy King, is saying to Mianna Burns, okay, we're just going to have this just on your face. Like, we're watching him give her, or hearing him rather, give her direction. You're hearing the news. The police are telling you your husband was trying to kill you. And we're just going to watch you. And we're, as the audience, going, yeah, but just get to the bit, you know, where he you know, where he wrecked her parachute, right? Yeah. So it aims for some lofty, you know, dramaturgy, shall we say, right? But really, it's the lofty fall that's the more interesting thing in it. And when it does get better, or perhaps at its most riveting, is when it is retelling the trial that this man went through. And I won't go into details about that because, I mean, they may or may not constitute a spoiler, but there's then a very interesting discussion about sort of domestic abuse, coercive control, and you know, how to build a case around this when you have unreliable witnesses on the stand, right? Yeah. So all in, a very interesting, if slightly overblown,
well, I mean, the story, like, he tries to kill his wife in a very unlikely way by fiddling with her parachute, and then even more unlikely, she survives the fall. So, like, you don't need any tricks for something like that.
And even as they, it shouldn't come as any surprise that someone who is willing to do that to the mother of his two children is a psycho.
Yes. Right?
But when they go to the actual depths of his psychopathy, like, that's salacious enough without this extra dramatic flourish thrown in.
Yeah. I would have thought, though. Still, though, you kind of be tempted to watch it, all right? Right, those three shows are Beacon 23. You can stream the first season now on Paramount Plus. Spent, that begins tonight at 10 p.m. on BBC Two. And The Fall, Skydive Murder Plot. It's a great title. You can stream now on Channel 4. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.